Hi, it's Dustin Lanier. Thanks for listening. Please find me on LinkedIn for original public sector operations content every week. And please reach out to me if I and my team of procurement professionals at Civic Initiatives can help you be a public procurement change agent.
I wanted to introduce Dustin Lanier, who's going to take us through a little bit of a talk about generative AI and its uses in public procurement. Dustin, take it away.
Great. Thanks, Tal. And it's good to be on here on a panel with you and David and Marielle and people I respect as well. And this little segment is a 10-minute boil down of a speech I've done for as long as an hour and a half, because there's a lot to talk about. But I think that it'll be useful and interesting, and especially if people haven't had a lot of exposure to this topic yet. I'll go through a little bit on what this is, a little bit on how it works, and how to get to build a better understanding as an adult learner on these topics. So as Tal pointed out, the current AI explosion can span everything from video to text. But for this topic, and from a work perspective, we're generally going to be talking about the text characteristics of this. Here I've taken an interaction with ChatGPT to show you kind of how to think about it. So you're creating a prompt, you're asking it to do a thing, and then it's able to extrapolate a large amount of knowledge in a way that feels very uncanny. And I'll talk about how that works. So here I said, you're helping me with speech. I need 4 bullet points on what generative AI is for an audience that is building knowledge, but not yet experts. This is primarily focused on text, as the audience primarily writes, edits, and reviews documents as their core duties. So then in a conversational tone, because of the way that I've asked the question, of course, here's 4 tailored bullet points. So it's great at assisted content creation. It's a writing assistant helping you come up with ideas and even generating drafts. Enhanced editing support. It can review your work and suggest improvements. Efficient document reviews. It can summarize lengthy documents, saving you time during reviews. And creative inspiration. If you're stuck, it can spark creativity by offering alternatives and options. And that's a pretty good summary. I have a couple of different opinions, but it's mostly interesting to see what it does when you interact with it. So for some of you guys, in my normal speech, I talk about this is different than Microsoft's Clippy from 1996. And the difference is that Clippy wanted to be this, but it didn't have the technology. It was seeking to provide an answer, but didn't have the actual technology to generate, to execute an answer. So what's happening here? How is this happening, and why should we contextualize it? So when you ask a question or a prompt, it's taking your words and it's breaking them into tokens, which is basically math, right? It's taking all of your words and it's breaking it into math. And then it's putting it back into a large language model that has been trained to be very good at predicting what is the next word. So it uses complex formulas from these patterns that it learned in its training to do another math equation, to convert it into words again, and to send it back to you as a completion. So a really important point on this is AI and large language models don't know the answer. There's no hidden store of knowledge that knows the answer. It becomes better educated on how to make associations of words and pairs of words and groups of words, which can appear to be knowledge, but it's not knowledge. In effect, almost everything you see that is so amazing and so unbelievable is an potentially incomprehensible level of guessing the next word. And it includes a little bit of randomness so that it's not the same answer every time. So here's an example. This is a generative image that generated from the picture from me asking Adobe Firefly to create for me an image of a robot converting words into numbers, just to give you some flavor of the kind of stuff you can do with the image generators. So again, it's predicting the next word. So if I say to you, once upon a, you know the next word is probably time, and it's probably not armadillo. All right, you have learned that through a series of being educated on how words go together and how they fit. So that kind of simple equation can be equated into basically this equation at the bottom. So what's the probability of the word time if the prior words were once upon a? So if you take then that language across multiple languages and convert it into basically upwards to the equivalent of 175 billion neurons of data, to where it's not just predicting the exact next best word, but from a heat map perspective, what is the cloud of the likely next words? So it can generate some differences. It can create some styles. You can then add context on how you want it to respond. So it's able to basically do incredibly complex predictions against specific word clouds in a giant machine. So when I give this speech, one of the primary questions for people who haven't had any exposure to this is, well, what do I do with it? And to ChatGPT's discredit, it's a big black screen and it looks scary and it doesn't really give you a lot of like walk-in UI, right? So a lot of people are like, what do I do with it? And I strongly suggest that you get some paint on your hands. Try to do some things. I'm going to talk about three things that you can do with it that can apply to your job. I strongly encourage you to play with it because adults learn differently than children. Adults are not going to sit and learn languages from scratch in general. They need games, they need interactions, they need aha moments. And there's a difference in the way that adults learn versus children. So do things like say, this is what I have in my refrigerator right now. Give me a meal plan for the week. Create for me an exercise plan that is going to hit these muscles. In my speech, my other speech, I have a song about procurement that was written in the style of Tribe Called Quest. And it's different than the way that the machine would create a song about procurement in the style of Drake or the style of, you know, Miley Cyrus. So it has context and it can create context. So it's really important to get in, I think, and play with it and learn a little bit from it so that you're then interested to keep going. All right. I mentioned the getting the paint on the hands and how the ChatGPT is, it's not very user-friendly when you walk into it. So you can interact with it in a very simple way, just going and typing those things in. Because it uses natural language processing, Tao mentioned Watson before. Watson is far off in a cloud and you need to be have access to their gold standard X and you need to have data scientist Y. This is just right there and you can just go use it today, right now, through natural language processing. You can create very simple prompts. You can create very complex prompts, including things like how to simulate personas, the type of tasks you want it to do. It's great for organizing thoughts. I'll talk about that in a second. So the important thing about using it that way, like playing with it, and then some of these things I'll talk about on the next slide as far as the kind of stuff you could do that would apply to your job, is it helps kickstart having an AI-ready workforce. So here's an example of an article that I read on how to have an AI-ready workforce. In order to talk about it, I wanted to simplify this information. So you'll see here my prompt saying, I remove the description of the headers and leave me only with the headers in the following list. And then I did Control C, I copied the whole article, Control V, dropped it into ChatGPT, and it automatically parsed the whole thing for me. Could I have done that? Sure. By doing with ChatGPT, was I done in 2 seconds? I was, right? So here from this article, the headers were building collaborative projects, having guest lectures like this, having research opportunities, practical applications, explainable AI. Can you actually talk about what this is and not get pulled away with, oh, this is magic or this is scary, but like really what is this so that you can then be informed for the future? So the three main things that I would say you can do as a procurement professional with ChatGPT today, I'm not telling you to go and violate your local entity's laws on the use of AI, but if you have the capacity to use the tool, I think the three things that you would do with it as a procurement professional is one, it's unmatched synthesis. Like being able to take large documents and say, pull the action items for me for this. You can say, I'm going to have an interview with the vendor tomorrow. I need 3 questions. Here's a description of their company. Take their whole data sheet, Control C, drop it in, Control V, and you have 6 questions that you would ask a vendor in order to drive things. So taking large data sets and making them be very synthesized is fantastic. 2 is it's the best brainstormer of all time. Be able to say, I'm trying to write an email to my boss. He said something to the other day that I didn't like very much, but I need to stay professional. I would like to know this. I would like him to know that. I want this kind of thing. So you can use it. You can just sort of spiel all of your thoughts into a thing and it'll give you a professional document. Or I received this following information from a vendor. I need to be able to build a negotiation stance. Here's this, here's that. You know, I've used it when I create questions for some of the podcast interviews. I'll say, I need 6 questions on this topic. Here's everything that I know about it so far. Enter, and it will give you a starting point. In the same way that if you ask a paralegal to write you a contract, you're still responsible for the contract. Regardless of what they wrote, you are responsible for the final product. In this, if you use something to help create a first draft, you are always responsible for the work product. So I'm personally a much better editor than I am a draw right from scratch type of person. And especially if I think the write from scratch activity is going to take an hour and I don't have an hour, I will therefore not start the project. But if I can get to a starting point, I can get to where I can finish almost any project you know, within a 10, a 5-page kind of parameter where I, as long as I know my thoughts and my organizational sets, being able to get to a starting point. And then finally, it's your on-demand quant, which is slang for math. So every Excel formula you ever wanted to know in your life is immediately providable simply by describing what you would want to do in Excel. You can skip Excel altogether and simply write a math scenario and it will know the answer and provide it to you. It can do SQL, it can do code. So it can do all kinds of really, really great math activities. So it's very useful for those topics. Next. So, you know, one of the most common questions that, you know, you'll get in some of this from people who haven't a lot of exposure to it is AI going to take my job? So it's not somebody it's not AI that's going to take your job, but somebody who knows how to use AI might. So AI is a dramatic accelerator. Here's an article where they used ChatGPT with generative chatbots inside of a call center, and they saw a 14% increase in the ramp up of those people because they had access to the information. So even though there's things that we're concerned about, like hallucinations, can it get the wrong answer? Does it contain bias? Now, I'm not trying to say those things don't exist, but you need to know about this tool set and you need to build your personal awareness. So some of the things that I think is likely for procurement in the short term against some of these tools, I think you'll see a lot of generative AI chatbot use. We're using that with some clients against large procurement manuals because it's a different way to interact with the information. You'll see the ability to do trained personas that are able to do things like requisition review and solicitation gathering, initial gathering. You know, we're building some playbooks around some of that information too, and using that for clients today. So we started using it for our own purposes, just as parlor tricks and the rest. We've used it to help accelerate a lot of content creation. And then we're helping to deploy for clients, both some of that ability to deploy certain playbooks that happen in AI, as well as the generative AI chatbots, I think have a lot of use. And as we build that up, it'll be very effective. So that's my spiel. Thanks, guys.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Dustin. You're right. Like, I'm sure I can only imagine that this conversation could take up an entire hour and a half easily. But I think that you pretty much summed it up about as well as you could in 10 minutes. So I appreciate that. And I'm sure our audience is so much more informed about the possibilities than they were before. So thanks again, Dustin, for that.